This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. Stopping the spread of HIV from an infected partner to a non-infected partner has been among the goals of AIDS researchers for years. Now a team from UNC Chapel Hill has reason to celebrate. Dr. Myron S. Cohen presented his findings at the Global AIDS Conference in Rome earlier this month. Dr. Cohen has many titles, including Associate Vice Chancellor for Global Health and Public Health Director at the Institute for Global Health and Infectious Diseases. And he joins me now by phone. Mike Cohen, welcome to the program.
Thanks.
Tell us about this treatment.
Well, this was a study that we worked on for many years that didn't come to conclusion, it's still ongoing, but came to a result in May of this year, demonstrating that that when you treat an infected person in a heterosexual relationship, might be a man or a woman you're treating, you improve their health, and you also virtually stop the transmission of HIV to their sexual partner, at least over the time period we were able to follow the couples.
And where were the people in terms of their trajectory with HIV? Was this an early intervention?
Yeah, in order to do the study ethically, and it was conducted all over the world, so it wasn't just one region, in order to do it ethically, we enrolled people at a very reasonably normal immune status and offered them treatment earlier than would be the standard of care. And then we offer treatment to everyone before the immune status would jeopardize their own personal health. To our satisfaction, we benefited the health of the people we started earlier as well. So the study really answered two questions. Is earlier therapy better? And the answer was it certainly looked somewhat better. And that earlier therapy also stopped the transmission, as I've said.
You talked about earlier transmission and early intervention as being an important result here. I was almost surprised to hear that that was a question. Doesn't that go without question? The earlier we intervene, the better?
Oh, that's right. You asked a complicated question. But basically, ever since the beginning of the AIDS epidemic, we've debated the best time to offer treatment. And intuitively, if you're an infectious disease specialist, you say there's a virus growing in somebody's body, stop the growth of the virus. But because the pills are somewhat in short supply, and because the pills have toxicity and side effects, and you're talking about lifelong therapy, we and many investigators have worked very hard to understand the very best time to start treatment. And that's been a substantial debate. Now, when you throw in the public health benefit, that is that the treatment also renders the person much less contagious, that tips the balance towards earlier treatment.
So what does this mean then? What are the implications for this study?
Well, there's a lot of implications. The study was conducted in heterosexual discordant couples, so we try and focus on that population. And many of the couples worldwide want to have children. So one of the issues is, do we then render the opportunity for infected person, if it's a man, bear a child, father a child, without jeopardizing the health of their sexual partner? That's one of the implications. The second idea, which is a much bigger idea, is can you treat enough people in a population to lower the overall incidence and prevalence in the population? That's the most important question. And that question is being subjected to further study based on the results.
Days, on a worldwide level, is sexual transmission, direct transmission from one partner to another, the most common way disease spreads?
By far, 85%.
Does the gender of the infected partner seem to matter in this treatment?
Well, early on, we believed that women were more susceptible than men, and that has not always held up. Recently, just this week, there was a paper published that suggested that pregnant women have particular susceptibility to HIV, and maybe even more important, that they are more contagious for their sexual partner. So, but I think in general, one should assume both men and women have susceptibility to HIV.
The drugs that you're talking about, of course, have been used for a long time, so it's not as though you've developed a new drug. You're talking about when to treat and the use of these, mostly antivirals, is that right?
Yeah, we use combinations of antiretrovirals that are well established for the benefit of the patient. The thing to pay a little bit of attention to, though, is we chose drugs that we knew would concentrate, based on work done at UNC by other investigators in our group, we chose drugs that we knew would concentrate in genital secretions. So we were really aiming at reducing the viral replication in the secretions that would normally cause infection. And this study was done under IND with FDA approval. What that means is if the drug companies that contributed the drugs, there were six of them that donated these drugs, if they chose to, they could get a labeling indication to indicate that their drugs play a role in the prevention of transmission of HIV.
Are these antiretrovirals readily available?
Oh, yeah. They're available, but they're rationed. What I mean by that is they're generated all over the world now, and they work very well, and they're life-saving. But because the demand is so great, more than 35 million, 36 million people infected, it's been impossible to offer them to all the infected people. So there's been a rationing scheme. And we're kind of in the middle of that rationing scheme right now with this discovery, if you will.
And this would then, it seemed to me, enter the discussion about how these particular drugs are rationed, am I right? Because now, as you say, there's now a new public health dimension that's
correct,
part of the early intervention.
Yeah, you're exactly right. We didn't realize how much attention this would get, in all candor. So we had a press conference on May 11th, and it was just like huge worldwide, or May 12th, huge worldwide news. And I think in part, just for the reasons you've indicated, that this kind of enters the realm of what's the right way to use these drugs to have the most benefit for the individual and the most benefit for the health of the public.
From a strictly economic point of view, if we make this decision that, yeah, let's start now with early intervention with these drugs, can we afford it?
Well, we're doing another manuscript about that right now. I guess a better question is, can we afford not to do this? For every person who's infected, two or three more people become infected. So the kind of rationale, and as people become ill from their infection, if they don't know they're infected, it becomes hugely expensive to the person and to society because they're no longer able to be productive. So there's no doubt in anyone's mind that early detection of HIV and linkage to care, and in the most general sense, is critical. But the evolution is that linkage of care has both personal consideration as well as public health consideration. And by the way, there's nothing shockingly new about this. This is the whole tuberculosis model. When we find somebody infected with tuberculosis, of course, we treat them to render them no longer contagious as quickly as we can. The difference here is this becomes lifelong treatment, whereas tuberculosis is limited.
Will the impact of your findings be any different in developing countries than it is in countries like the United States?
The United States epidemic is 61-62% men who have sex with men. That has to do with men having sex with men. It has to do with sexual practice differences. Our study focused on heterosexuals who have somewhat different practices, so we don't necessarily extrapolate our results to MSM, men who have sex with men. But in general, when you're talking about using treatment to prevent transmission to a partner, there's no difference worldwide. And as I said, we worked in 13 sites in 9 countries. We did that in particular so there would be no sense of regionalization.
What is the follow-up now? What do you plan next?
Well, the study's ongoing. So when the results were announced, we decided very quickly that we would offer antivirals to everyone in the study, even the people in the so-called delayed arm, because we saw a benefit to them. Not all the couples, not all the infected people want to take the pills, but every person who wants the pills will get the pills. But then the study's ongoing because we always anticipated that we needed to understand not just the magnitude of benefit, but the durability of benefit. So now we've got about more than 2 years of follow-up showing virtual elimination of transmission. Can that be sustained for 5 years? That's a really critical question that we're addressing right now.
At this point, what do you think is the single most important thing that people can do to stop the spread of AIDS?
Get tested, get HIV tested so you know your status and understand, have enough education to understand the way that that this virus is transmitted.
In those parts of the world where AIDS is still stigmatized, is there a change now? Do you see changes in attitudes about testing?
Yeah, there's a very large change, and because the places where the prevalence is 20, 30, 40%, massive infection rates, it is now part and parcel to understand how you might contribute to the health of your community. And while there's still stigma, I certainly don't deny that, it's much different than it was 20 years ago.
Let's take one step back and give us an overview about the spread of AIDS at this point. What's the snapshot around the world in terms of the prevalence of AIDS and the growth of AIDS?
HIV. Well, let's call it
HIV.
Okay, because AIDS obviously refers to someone with more advanced disease. We'd like to never see that again. We like to find people very early after infection so they can be properly treated and virtually live a normal life. So still, if we look worldwide, there are only the three routes of transmission, blood-borne from, you know, some sort of contaminated product or a drug user, mom to baby, which can be virtually eliminated by recognizing the mom's infection and treating her properly during pregnancy, and then sexual transmission, which is the vast majority of transmission. More than 80% of all the cases in the world are still in sub-Saharan Africa. And so that's the epicenter of the epidemic, and it's not about sexual behavior. It has a lot to do with biology and other things we don't completely understand. In the United States, the CDC has just released a paper last week indicating that we have a very stable incidence in the United States, about 50,000 new cases a year. But we're seeing a worsening epidemic in the United States among young men who have sex with men, and this is really the focus of our prevention efforts in the United States.
Mike Cohen, thanks you so very much for being on the program today.
Thanks for having me.
Myron Cohen is Associate Vice Chancellor for Global Health, as well as Distinguished Professor of Medicine and Public Health Director at the Institute for Global Health and Infectious Disease at UNC Chapel Hill. Coming up, WUNC's Eric Hodge talks about his new venture, a radio show called Last Motel. You'll hear it on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.